Bilam continues with his parables. So he finishes the first parable. It doesn't go very well. Instead of cursing the Jewish people, now he blessed them. So he makes another attempt. We're going to focus on one detail, one verse, in this second set of parables. Bilam says in chapter 23, verse 24, when he speaks about the Jewish people, and he says why they are worthy of blessing, and as such, this is why he will not curse them. Hein om kilavi yakum. This is a nation, says the Bilam, that rises like a lion. Ucha ari yisnasa. Like a lion, they raise themselves up. La yishkav ad yechel teref. They do not lie down to rest until they've eaten their prey. Vedam chalolim yishte. And the blood of their victims they will drink. Wow. What a violent verse.
It's like, is that a compliment?
Early in the morning.
Are you sure that's a compliment?
Bilam is giving us a compliment. Crazy. The question is, what is the compliment? So firstly, it says the word lion twice here. Once it says a lavi, once it says an ari. Once it says yakum, once it says yisnasa. Once it says rise, once it says raise up. What's the difference between a lavi and an ari? So Ramban says that a lavi is a gur, a cub. An ari is a big ferocious lion. So it's like a young lion and an older lion. But let's go back to this verse itself. What does it mean when we say, Hein om kilavi yakum? The Rashi says, to rise like a lion means, ki shehem oimdim mishinasam, when they rise from their sleep, shachris in the morning, hem izgabrim kilavi, then they pull the strength together like a lion. Ucha ari, Rashi here uses both names, even though he's speaking about yakum. He says, hein om kilavi yakum, he says vigoimer. So we know that he's interpreting the idea of the lavi yakum and the ari yisnasa. And he says it means when they rise in the morning, mizgabrim, lavi v'chari, they rise like a lion, or like Ramban says, a young lion, or a mature lion. Lachtaif is a mitzvah, to seize, to grab the mitzvahs. What kind of mitzvahs do we have in the morning? Lulbish talus, put on a talus, likra shema, to read the shema, ula haniach tefillin, and to put on tefillin. So the question, of course, is, first you put on tefillin, and then you read the Shema. Why does Rashi put it in that order? First to read, put on the talus, then to read the Shema, only afterwards to put on tefillin. So the Maskil of David says, the reason is that there are some days we don't put on tefillin, like Shabbat or Yom Tov. So that's why it says first the talus, and then only speaks about the tefillin. And the point would be then, the point would be that we rise like a lion to serve Hashem in the morning. That's what this is about. Mm-hmm. It's interesting that not all the Mefarshim take Rashi's approach. So for example, Or HaChaim says that the Levi Akum and the Ari Yisnasa, which Rashi does not seem to deal with at all, the redundant expression, and I would say to you that Rashi doesn't deal with it because, as we learned yesterday, it's all a parable. And he's speaking parabolically. It's not necessary to explain every nuance of the poetry. That's the point of a parable. That's the point of poetry. So, but the Rechaim says, Lavi Akum is regard to their own strength. We reach beyond what we're capable of. And Ari Yisnasa is how we present ourselves. So sometimes you challenge yourself, and sometimes you respond to an outside situation. The point here is that we go beyond ourselves, challenging ourselves on the inside, and that the Arachayim says also, as far as the outside is concerned, we demonstrate our ability to overcome limitations, laziness, lethargy, and do what Hashem wants. So why does Rashi have to say that it's speaking about getting up like a lion? Why can't he just say that we rise like a lion? He says, wake up like a lion. Or why can't we just say we're strong as a lion? Lions are very strong. Why can't we just say the Jewish people are strong people? Because we're a strong people. That's what Bilam said. We're deserving of blessing. So the Maharal of Prague says, if that would be the case, it should have said, Hein om kilavi ucha'arye. They are a nation who is like a lion. But it doesn't say we're a nation who's like a lion. It says that we are a nation who rises like a lion. Om kilavi yakum. It doesn't say we are a lion. It says we rise like a lion. It doesn't say we are an ari. It doesn't say that we are a mature lion. It says chari yisnasa. So what are we? What do we do ultimately? We are the yakum and the yisnasa. We rise and we get up like a lion. So Maharal of Prague says, therefore Rashi cannot say simply this verse is a metaphor. The Jewish people are strong as a lion, but it has to be instead they rise like a lion. So what would that mean? Yisnasa, get rising. What does it mean to rise? I understand the metaphor. Somebody could say that person is strong as a lion. What does it mean to rise? So he says, therefore, must be speaking about mitzvahs. And mitzvahs, he says, are gvura. They're incredible heroism and inner strength. And he says, that Maharal says, this is because every mitzvah is a wondrous thing. A mitzvah is far more than the sum of its parts. And because every mitzvah is a wondrous thing, so therefore, when the Jewish people do mitzvahs, they accomplish amazing things. And that's a metaphor of Yisnasa and Yakum, that when we rise for a mitzvah, that's when you can say it's called rising like a lion or rising like a cub. What is the meaning of the balance of the verse? So now we know that we rise like a lion means we're not lazy and we seize the moment in the morning to serve Hashem. So he says, Loi ad yechol teref, until he eats his prey. Okay, so he rises until he eats his prey, and Rashi explained that this is the prey is seizing the moment for a mitzvah. Now what then does it mean? V'dam chalolim yishte. It says lo yishkav, he won't go to sleep ad yechol teref. Here you say it's talking about waking up, rising. Hey nom chalav yakum, and we're like a cub that rises, like an ari is naso, an ari that raises itself. And then he's talking about lo yishkav. So okay, morning is the morning. What's lo yishkav? So Rashi says, Layishkav here in this pasuk means that it makes sense that it's the same idea. We started off by talking about rising for the Shema. So he says, Layishkav, they won't go to sleep balayla at night, al mitasa in the bed, ad shehu oichel umechabel kol mazik abalatarfe, until he proverbially eats or rips any kind of negative force which might come to harm him. Ketzad, what does that mean? Says Rashi, it means koyres shma mitasa. You read the shma in the evening, the shma before going to sleep. O mafkid ruchoi biyad hamakim, and then you entrust your spirit into the hands of God. And as the Medrash Tanchuma says, there's this negative forces that roam at night, and when a yid says krishma, he creates a protective energy around him. So ba machane v'gayis lahazikam. You have this idea of negative forces that camp against you, to harm you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomrim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches and guards over us. V'nilcham milchamoisam u'mapilim chalolim. He protects us from any danger that might come our way, and in the end, they become the victims themselves. So therefore, Rashi explained this is all about Shema. It's all about Shema. Rising in the morning is about waking up in the morning, seizing the moment of Shema, going to sleep, is again not going to sleep until we read the Shema. The problem is that, you know, it's not the natural association. When you think of reading Shema like a lion is not exactly what we think of. Or even rising like a lion in order to read the Shema. So therefore, Rashi gives us a secondary interpretation. Davar Acher, another interpretation. Hein am kelavi yakum v'gerim. They are like a nation that rises like a lion. That you should follow Kitargume, the way the Targum renders it. What does the Targum say? He says that this is a nation of great might. And sometimes when the nation is crouching, so you don't see its strength. But he says in the end, when the nation of Israel is provoked, when we finally do wake up, when we finally are roused, then we rouse like a lion. See, the lion is like a lazy creature. It doesn't run around like a cheetah, like a leopard. It sits in its place, very majestic. But when you provoke the lion, when the lion finally gets roused, oh, then it gets going. Then the lion, then you find great strength. So this is the nature of the Jewish people, that a lot of times you look at them, look like they're sleeping. No interest in mitzvahs, no interest in Yiddishkeit. But we know that the Jewish people, when they're provoked, when you wake up somebody's neshama, then all of a sudden you find this great strength, this tremendous ability that's attached to them. All right, so this works for the idea of rising like a lion. But what does it have to do with dam chalal mishta? What does it have to do with drinking the blood of its prey? So Rashi says that this is Nisna Behir. Bilam prophesizes She'ein Moshe Meis, that Moshe Rabbeinu will not die, Ad She'yipel Malchei Midyon B'chalolim V'yaharig, until the kings of Midyon will be killed. And of course, Bilam himself is Imohim, Bilam is with them. She'nemer, as it says, Ve'ez Bilam ben Ba'er HaKoysim, Bilam ben Ba'er the sorcerer, Hargu B'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel, who were led by Moshe and killed, V'cherev HaChalaleihem. So in other words, according to the interpretation that Hein Am Kelavi Yakum, that means they'd rise like a lion, that we're not lazy in the morning, and you didn't come to shul in the morning and do what they have to do. So that's the idea of rising like a lion. In that case, what is the idea of going to sleep? That's the thing, Krishma, before you go to sleep. However, if we have to take this literally, rising like a lion means that we actually have the strength of a lion. And even when you look like they're spiritually comatose and sleeping, when they get roused like a lion. So in that case, from that interpretation, what is the virtue of Layishkav, Adya Echel Teref? What is the meaning of they don't lie down until they eat their prey? Why is that a virtue? To say somebody is virtuous because they're powerful, because they're mighty, okay? Mighty people, people who's roused. What's the emphasis of Layishkav? Therefore Rashi says, the emphasis on Layishkav here is that it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, that even though he was already reaching the end of his life, and sometimes people want to retire, and take it easy, Meshes Lo Yishkav, don't go to sleep until the job is done. And the job is done, Bilam and the kings of Midian have to be taken down, Meshes Rabbeinu can be in the last ebb of his material life, Lo Yishkav, he will not lie down. In other words, here the Lo Yishkav would refer to not going to sleep at night, but actually going to sleep permanently, till Tchias HaMesim. So Lo Yishkav, Adyechol Teref, Adam Chalal Mishta. He won't until he tears his prey and he drinks the blood of his victims. This, of course, refers to the battle that Moshe Rabbeinu would prosecute at the end of his life against the kings of Midian. So that's the story of rising.
Why wouldn't you interpret it just like if it's like the performance of mitzvot you're alluding to, then a hunger and thirst for the performance of mitzvot? Like, why wouldn't it be kind of in that same realm?
So it is. In the first interpretation, it is about the mitzvot.
But Rashi's just singling out Shema, per se.
What do you do in the morning? He talks about mitzvahs you do in the morning. What does he do? He wakes up in the morning and he goes to Shul.
And he's saying the last mitzvah, you know, the last mitzvah performance
in Europe, there
Shema.
there was no alarm clocks. I'm talking about centuries. So, like, for that matter, in North Africa, whatever. I mean, people didn't have alarm clocks once upon a time. So if you lived in a farm, your rooster was waking you up. But if you didn't live in a farm, lived in an urban setting, in a city, how'd you wake up in the morning for davening? But there was actually somebody whose job, he was the veker, it's called. He was the wake-up man. What would he do? He would go rapping on the shutters. He would say, Vek tzachuf, tzu avaydes habayra. Wake up to serve Hashem. And he'd go rapping on all the windows. Wake the people up. Why? Because a yid gets up before everybody else, and he goes to shul and davens in the morning. What do regular people do? First of all, I don't know what regular people do.
Hit the snooze button.
They wake up, they read the newspaper, they have some breakfast, they chill out a little.
Over their toes, right?
Yeah. Maybe they work out a little. I don't know how people do in the morning. And then they go off to the day. What does a yid do in the morning? He gets up extra early because he doesn't have, everybody's busy. He gets up extra early to have time to be able to come to shul, be able to daven. That's the point. So what does a Jew do that's different? That's what he does. He wakes up in the morning to come daven. And what does he do different at night? You're tired, you're wiped out, you want to go to sleep. He says, 1 second, Krishma, Krishma. How many times you're so tired at night, your eyes are falling? You have a Sishma. So that's the point of the business of Yakum and Layishkav. But that's when we explain the Yakum and Layishkav within the frame of doing a mitzvah. And those are the mitzvahs, the first mitzvah a person does in the morning and the last mitzvah a person does during the day. But if you're going to talk about the idea of, in general, being strong, that Yisnasa, Yakum and Yisnasa means that we, the Jewish people, even when we fall asleep, deep down, there's still a lot of strength. You have to just provoke and wake that. So then what's the virtue of Layishkav? And the answer is, get a job done. But not everybody gets a job done. Everybody then wakes up in the morning, not everybody gets a job done. So therefore, he says, this refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Here, Bilam was giving a very specific prophecy as to what will happen with him and the kings of Midian. Does that work for you?
I mean, to me, that's it would be more plausible, let's say, Mashiach in that context then, or, you know, like...
Mashiach, God has to bring. We can't bring Mashiach. I mean, we have to try to bring Mashiach. We have to do more mitzvahs and do good things and to accelerate the process. But in the end of the day, who will bring Mashiach? We can't say, I'm not going to sleep till Mashiach comes. All right. I don't know if that's a good idea. The Ramban says, La Yishkev means the Jewish people did not relax in their land until they fully captured it. But the thing is, I mean, it took a long time till they fully captured Israel. It was not a quick process. So to say that that's the great virtue that Bilam saw, these are worthy of blessing because they won't relax in the land until they capture it.
You know what I think? I think we need to turn to the Rebbe because I'm still not satisfied with these explanations.
Very good.
That's what I think.
Good.
He's going to elucidate what
it means. Let us turn to the Rebbe. Let's see what the Rebbe says.
That's it.
So page pay. We'll do a very short teaching and then a little bit of a longer teaching. The first teaching here, the Rebbe says that there's an allusion here to a Yid waking up in the morning to the first thing a Yid does. It says, Hain. Hain. Hain is a hay, number 5. And nun is 50. The gematria 55. So the Rebbe says, which other word, famous word in Hebrew, has the gematria, the numeric equivalent of 55? 55, which word?
Torah.
You all know this word. I give you a hint. It's the first word you say in the morning.
Maida.
Maida. Maidani. The word maida has the numeric equivalent of 55. Why? Because mem is 40, vav is 6, and dalet is 4, chiz is 50, and it's maideh with a hey. So hey and am is from the maideh-ani, from the first thing in the morning. In other words, a further allusion to the idea that it means pulling ourselves out of bed and waking up on time so we can go to shul and serve Hashem. All right. Here the Rebbe quotes a Medrash Tanchuma. It's a little bit different than Rashi, but it's the same spirit. The Medrash Tanchuma says, sometimes Yidden are not just sleeping in the morning. Sometimes they're just sleeping. They're sleeping. And here, the Medrash Tanchuma alludes to both interpretations of Rashi. The interpretation of strength and the interpretation of waking up. But the waking up is not specific to a particular day. It's a general malaise, a general lethargy, a general sleeping. So Jewish people are sleeping. They're sleeping from Torah study. They're sleeping for mitzvahs. But, amdu mishenasan, when they finally wake up, when you finally get a yid to wake up, then amdim karayis, then they wake up like a lion. Choytvim krishma umamlichim lakadosh baruch hu. They grab the Shema, and they declare Hashem King. They grab it. So the Rebbe says, so this is about grabbing. Grabbing means seizing an opportunity. This has to be understood, the Rebbe says, because there is the notion of grabbing insofar as mitzvahs are concerned that's shown up already. And this comes not from Bilam, but rather from Yaakov, our first father. Or our third patriarch, but I'm saying the father by whose name we are called as a nation. Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed, which is the first major deathbed event ever recorded in history, Yaakov Avinu blesses his children. And one of his children gets blessed with chatfonus, with the ability to seize the moment, hit the iron when it's hot. Who is that?
Yehuda.
Oh, not Yehuda. Binyamin. Very good. Binyamin. Li is chatfonim, Rashi says. Right? Binyamin. Ze'ev yitref. Rashi interprets li is chatfonim. So the Rebbe says, how come last time we were using the metaphor of the wolf, and now we use the metaphor of the lion?
Right.
So in Rashi doesn't say what the Medrash Tanchuma says. He doesn't say chatfanim. He says gibur. He says strong. Because the wolf is not a picture of strength. But the wolf is the picture of brazen seizing things. He brazenly goes in. Mm-hmm. The lion is a picture of strength.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it, according to the Medrash, that this is about choytvin krishma, we grab the Shema, and we're using the imagery of the lion, not the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So the Rebbe suggests the following. Matzino b'Gemara, we find in the Gemara, and this is found in Meseches Bava Kama in the beginning. Shah Aryeh Misyachet Bekach Shahu Eini Teref. What's unique about the lion's method of hunting is the lion doesn't actually tear his prey. What would that mean? It means that some of the animals tear their prey, and after they tear their prey, then they sit down for a meal. But the lion doesn't do that. The lion is doidus. Doidus means that the lion eats his prey right there and then. He rips his prey. He rips into his prey, which means that he eats it when they're still alive. That's how the lion's lunch comes served, or how he takes it. So the poor antelope that gets attacked, or the zebra gets attacked by the lion just goes right after him. Then he brings home spoils for his children. But first, the lion goes after him right there and then. What does this mean in Avodas Hashem? It's fascinating for the National Geographic Channel, where you can watch these amazing movies they make of the safari and the jungle, and of animals who are tearing animals. What does it mean, practically speaking? What's the lesson for us? The meaning of this words, insofar as serving Hashem is concerned, is like this. The person doesn't kill the Yetzirah and neutralize him, but instead, he changes the Yetzirah, harnesses the Yetzirah. He uses the strength and the wherewithal and ability of the Avodah Zarah, of the Yetzirah, pardon me, he uses him. So every one of us has negative traits. We call it Yetzirah, a predisposition to things which are unhealthy, things which are ungodly, things which are untorah. I have a predisposition to that. And the question is what you do with that predisposition. Do we take that predisposition and simply neutralize it? Or do we take that predisposition and do we transform it? Do we harness it? Do we channel it? And so the mashal, the metaphor that's given here for Bnei Yisrael, is not of the wolf who actually kills his prey, but rather of the lion who, when we say that we seize the Shema, we use the metaphor of the lion who doesn't kill his prey, but instead the lion who eats his prey. Not kills and then eats. Eats his prey. And the message is, when we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we say Baruch Shem, how do we start the Shema? We say V'ahavta, it's Hashem Elokecha. We should love the Lord your God. And then when it's B'chol Levavcha, with all of your heart. How do our sages interpret the word B'chol Levavcha? The Gemara in Brachas on page 54 famously says, but doesn't say B'chol Libcha, doesn't say with all your heart, it says B'chol Levavcha. That's plural. It really reads as with all your hearts. And the Gemara says that means B'shnei Yitzarecha. You have to love Hashem with both inclinations. The inclination of desire to do good, you have to challenge yourself and go beyond. And the inclination and desire to do something which is unhealthy, that too must be mustered and utilized for the service of Hashem. Yetzer tov and yetzer hara. Good inclination and bad inclination, exactly. You have to use them together. Kedarkei shel ha'aryeh, this is like a lion, not like a wolf. Ha'eichlas karbonosav, who eats his victims, ba'odem chayim. Don't kill the yetzer hara, sublimate the yetzer hara. Harness the yetzer hara, redirect the yetzer hara. That takes enormous strength. That's the lion within us. So we, the Jewish people, have the ability then not only to destroy the negative tendencies that we might be born with, and we all have them. Everybody has different negative tendencies, but we all have negative tendencies. We, the Jewish people, said Bilam, when he wanted to curse us, I can't curse them. Why? Because they're like a lion. And what does that mean, like a lion? Because not only do they neutralize the negativity, but instead I see them harnessing their negativity. And because they harness the negativity and use that energy for a good thing, as such, they're worthy of blessing. And of course, as Bilam goes on to his own chagrin, become the source for an extraordinary profusion of blessings that were bestowed upon our people. Sure.